engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Is one of the most prominent pro-life speakers in the world. Originally from New York, he was ordained in 1988 by Cardinal John O'Connor and has dedicated his entire life and ministry to ending abortion. In 1993, he requested and received permission to serve as the National Director of Priests for Life, the largest pro-life ministry in the Catholic Church. He is also the president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council and the National Pastoral Director of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign and of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. He travels throughout the country to an average of 4 states every week, preaching and teaching against abortion. He broadcasts daily to hundreds of thousands of people on television, radio, and online. Mother Teresa asked him to speak in India on the life issue. The Vatican appointed him to the Pontifical Academy for Life and to the Pontifical Council for the Family to help coordinate the pro-life activities of the Catholic Church. He was present at the bedside of Cherry Schiavo as she was dying and was an outspoken advocate for her life. Members of Congress have invited him to address the pro-life caucus and to preach at the prayer service they had in the Capitol just prior to the vote on health care reform. He serves on the pro-life and Catholic advisory board of both President Trump's election campaigns. He received the Proudly Pro-Life Award by the National Right to Life Committee and numerous other pro-life awards and honorary decorates. His work has been praised by President Popes and countless citizens. He is the author of 4 books, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It, Pro-Life Reflection for Every Day, Abolishing Abortion, and Proclaiming the Message of Life. Great, all those books. Norman McCorvey, the Jane Roe of the Supreme Court Roe v. Wade abortion decision, called Father Frank the catalyst that brought her into the Catholic Church. Wow, look at all these accolades. We are so blessed. It is my honor and privilege.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we are blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow, it is great to be with you, brothers and sisters. Great to be back in your neck of the woods. I've been here many, many times over the years, and many of you were reminding me during the social hour of some of the past events where we have been together to do what we are doing again tonight, to encourage one another in what is the most important work on earth, to save lives, and not just to speak against abortion, fight against abortion, reduce the numbers of abortions. The goal of this movement and the goal to which we recommit ourselves tonight is to end abortion. It is to end it because there can be no greater moral evil than this. A direct killing of a child, completely helpless, completely dependent and vulnerable. And brothers and sisters, the good news is this. You know, I have been working full time, focusing every day, every night on abortion and how to end abortion for nearly 30 years now. I have never in all that time been more confident and convinced than I am tonight that the days of legal abortion in this country are numbered. This is coming to an end. Now, why do I say that? I want to trace for you some signs of hope. And it's so beautiful to see hope focused on as the theme here tonight. You see it right on the front of the program booklet, Hope Restored. Because I often say to people, the mission of the pro-life movement, and some of you have been in the pro-life movement as long as I have, others you are new to it, and we welcome you warmly. If you're just getting to learn about the work of centers like this one and the movement in general, or maybe you're getting involved in 40 Days for Life or in the work of other works in the community, we welcome you to this movement. But what you can say to summarize what the mission of the pro-life movement is, it can be very simply said as replacing despair with hope. We saw that in concrete terms right here just a moment ago. Replacing despair with hope. We don't point fingers of condemnation to those that are going into the abortion clinics or those that have had abortions or those that are pro-abortion. Our mission is not to stand before the world and point fingers of condemnation. Our mission, the mission of Summit Life, the mission of the church, the mission of the pro-life movement, is to extend hands of mercy and help and hope, and to say to people, no matter what their circumstances are, we say the same words that God says to us. I am with you. Those four words summarize it. I am with you. The very existence of this center, the existence of the counselors, the medical professionals, the volunteers, all of you that are making this work possible. What are we saying to our community? We're not saying we condemn you. We're not saying, oh, abortion is wrong, don't do it, and then we say nothing else besides that. No, we are saying we are with you. We are with you, we are with your baby, we are with you now, we are with you later, we are with you no matter what you do, we are with you no matter what happens, no matter what obstacle you face, we are with you. You heard in the intro that Barbara gave for me that I knew Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and when I visited with her, when I first started my full-time work with Priests for Life, I spent about 10 days with her over in Calcutta, and we discussed the pro-life movement and pro-life strategy and what we need to do to end abortion in America. And we were talking about the Ministry of Sidewalk Counseling, and many of you do this, and the 40 Days prayer vigils and so forth, where we go to the places where the killing occurs. And we go there with that love, with that compassion, with that hope. And Mother Teresa said, yes. She says, I go here in India to the places where the abortions occur. And I take the women by the arm, she said. And I pull them away from the abortion clinic. You remember how short she was. That must have been quite a scene over there in Calcutta. And she said, I pull them away. And I say, come to us, our sisters, our community, we will help you and your baby. Friends, that's simply what we are doing. The work that you are doing, furthermore, it hits all the key elements. Education, look at the mission statement, speak the truth in love. You know why abortion continues? It continues because of lies. It doesn't continue because people want it. They really don't want it. You don't go to the door of an abortion clinic because it's something that you want. You go to the door of an abortion clinic because it's something that you feel you have no choice. That's the irony of the slogan freedom of choice that the other side uses to promote this violence. People don't get abortions because of freedom of choice. They get them because they feel they have no freedom and no choice. And speaking the truth enables them to realize they do have a choice. It enables them to realize, furthermore, that abortion isn't going to solve any problems. You know, we think that we're having a debate on abortion in this country, but most of the people who are debating it really aren't. Because if you're going to debate something, if you're going to discuss something, if you're going to discuss something, not just at the dinner table, if you're going to discuss it in the legislature, in the Congress, in the Supreme Court, you've got to agree, first of all, on what you're talking about. Even if you're never going to agree about the thing, you at least have to agree that you're talking about the same thing. That's not happening when it comes to abortion. Because when those who support it talk about it, what's going through their mind is health care, freedom, women's rights, the Constitution. Very good and important ideas. What's going through our minds is dismemberment, decapitation, arms and legs being ripped off a baby. This is exactly what happens in an abortion. You know, if you read the speeches of those, for example, in our political world who support abortion, those right now in Congress who just the other day voted in the House of Representatives. Now, it's not going to pass the Senate, but it's disturbing that a political party in our country, the Democrat Party, would introduce a bill that would eliminate what has happened here in New York. God forgive those that were responsible for it. These folks want it to happen all over the country, that there would be absolutely no restrictions or limitations on abortion right up until birth, and that the reasonable regulations that have been implemented, because they're supported by the vast majority of the American people, for example, the involvement of parents in the decision of a minor to have an abortion, and many other things as well, they want to take them all away. If you read the speeches of those who are in support of legal abortion, there are certain words you will never find in those speeches. Check it out. Look for the words blood, arms, legs, skull, bones. You won't find it, much less the word decapitate or dismember. You know where you will find all those words? In the medical textbooks on how to do abortions. We in the pro-life leadership, we read those textbooks. I have all those textbooks on my shelf. We read them cover to cover. These abortionists, or you listen to, you read their court testimony. When they go into court and they have to testify about the procedures that they do, oh yeah, you'll hear those words. They admit it's the taking of a human life. They dismember the baby. So we're not having a debate about abortion. When you've got legislators who stand up and they can't even say these words, they're not talking about abortion. If they're talking about women's health care, even if they're talking about reproductive rights, you know what? We believe in reproductive rights. We don't believe that a government can tell a parent whether or not they should be a parent or a prospective parent or a couple. We don't believe that a government like China does should tell a family how many children they can have or can't have. That's not what this is about. We agree with reproductive rights. We don't agree with killing a baby. So we define our terms. We have to be clear. We have to be crystal clear. We have to be laser focused. We have to make people understand what it is that we're talking about. And you can't make them understand what you're talking about unless you talk about it. And that's why the mission statement here, speak the truth in love. Speak is the first word of the mission statement. Not be silent. Speak when it's going to make you uncomfortable to speak about abortion. Speak when you're afraid you're going to lose friends or lose popularity by speaking about abortion. Speak to my brothers in the clergy when it makes us feel like we're going to be causing a ruckus in our congregation or going to lose supporters. But if we speak about abortion from the pulpit, speak. The post-abortion Bible study that Barbara referred to, a key part of your work here that you are supporting, let me tell you, let me give you the perspective around the world. One of the ministries we have started at Priests for Life is called Silent No More. And it is a very simple concept. Those that have had abortions, of course, we need to give them healing because abortion is a tremendous wound on that mother, not sometimes. All the time, and on the father, and on the grandparents, and on the siblings, and on all the family members, and on the friend who drove her to get the abortion. If she's going to regret the abortion later on, guess what? That friend who drove her there, when she realizes what she did, she's going to regret it too. She's going to need help and healing and care and mercy and forgiveness and counseling. So many people are wounded by doing abortions, including the doctors, the nurses, the technicians, and the clinic workers themselves. In the right now, we've got about 760 abortion clinics around the country. By the way, there are about four times more pregnancy centers like Summit Life in America than there are abortion clinics. But the point I'm making is that the wounds are very real, the wounds are very deep, and people need healing. And you know what? The healing that comes to a person who seeks it after they've had an abortion not only heals that person and gives them the hope and the strength and the peace to go on with a productive life, but you know what it also does? It saves lives, because it decreases the likelihood that they will have a second abortion. Do you know that almost half the abortions in America are repeat abortions? They're being performed on people who have had at least one prior abortion. Why? Abortion itself leads to the temptation to do it again. And part of the reason is, if you know psychology, traumatic reenactment. You find yourself in a situation that you cannot understand, you cannot control, it's overwhelming. And one of the strange ways that the human psyche works is that in order to try to master a situation that we feel completely powerless over, we put ourselves back in the same situation a second time to try to master it. We end up suffering. But what's at work here? We're trying to understand it. We're trying to overcome it. That's why some people can't get out of abusive relationships. So why do you let yourself keep getting abused? Because they're trying to master a trauma by repeating it. I've ministered to people, you may find this totally hard to believe, who have had as many as 25 abortions. Now, how on earth, first of all, how can the human body even endure that? It can. How can a person do that? Why would a person do that? Because it's a self-destructive spiral of despair. I killed my baby. I'm not worthy to be a mother. I get pregnant again because I somehow want to replace the baby. But then when I realize I'm pregnant, I realize I'm not worthy to be a mother. And so I kill the baby. And it goes on and on and on over again and again and again. There are people who have many, many abortions. The sooner you can heal that person, the sooner you can save her from doing this violence again. So it's a life-saving ministry as well as a healing ministry, and it needs to be supported. And so, like I said, here at Priests for Life, and by the way, we exist to help you, okay? We're not just for priests. We're not just for Catholics. We are helping throughout America everyone and anyone who is doing something and wants to do something to save these babies and to end abortion. And that's why I've spoken at banquets like this in every state of the nation. And the rest of our team does as well. And we are ready to work side by side with you as individuals, as churches, as Summit Life Center, as whatever groups you would. 40 Days for Life. I was part of the group that launched that as a national project. We started locally in Texas, as you know, and then the transition for it to become national. I was very involved in that day by day. All of these ministries were here to help and encourage and grow. And so Silent No More, these people who have had abortions have found healing. They want to share their stories. We help them to discern, because not everybody's called to do that, but we help them to discern if they're called to share their story publicly. And when they do, they are giving hope to those who are suffering in silence. And they're letting them know, you don't need to let this shame and this silence absorb you and destroy you. Stand up. Because there is one who is reaching down into that darkness. There is one who is reaching down into that despair. There is one who is shedding a loving, merciful light into that darkness. And his name is Jesus Christ. Rise up. Rise up from your sin and your shame. And you can have a new life. Finally, just a moment on this. We are at a great moment of hope for our movement overall, because the movement is not a series of disconnected activities. What you do to support Summit Life and save these lives is helping also in the legislative, political, and judicial arena, just like what happens when we make progress in the legislative arena for pro-life, it helps the pregnancy centers, because there are a lot of laws that people on the other side try to pass to hinder the work of the pregnancy center. So all of these dimensions of work, education and pastoral work in the churches and the pregnancy center work and the healing after abortion and the politics and the laws and the court cases, it all works together as one beautiful, powerful movement. Right now, tomorrow, after I visit the center, spend some time there tomorrow morning, I'm going to Washington, D.C. And I'll be there for several days, because this weekend we'll be having rallies in front of the Supreme Court, because the court begins its new session on Monday. And during this session, as most of you know, the court is going to hear a major abortion case. Now, the court has decided on abortion dozens of times since Roe v. Wade in 1973 legalized it. But this will be one of the most important ones. In the state of Mississippi, which passed a law protecting babies at 15 weeks and beyond in pregnancy, that's the law the court is reviewing. And the state of Mississippi is saying to the Supreme Court, together with about 80 friend of the court briefs, those of you who are attorneys know the significance of this, more pro-life briefs than any other case that the court has ever heard on this topic. And all of these briefs are very strong and very powerful in echoing what Mississippi is saying. Not just uphold our law. They are saying to the court in no uncertain terms that the Roe versus Wade decision that was issued in 1973, not only is it unjust, not only is it immoral, not only is it unconstitutional, but it is obsolete. And it needs to be thrown out, and it needs to be thrown out now. And one of the key arguments that's being made to the court is that it is obsolete precisely because so much has changed since Roe v. Wade. The justices in that decision made the ridiculous assertion, even it was ridiculous even in 1973, it's even more ridiculous now, that we don't know when human life begins. Oh, yes, we do. You know, if you don't know when human life begins, if you don't know how your exact, individual, unique human life with all your genetic characteristics, how it began, if you don't know that, you might as well say that the earth is flat. I mean, this is not even an argument. It's so ridiculous to even raise the question, number one. But things have changed. The child in the womb is medical science's newest patient. One of the journals I subscribe to is Fetal Diagnosis and Therapy. I've talked with the fetal surgeons across America, doing the operations, heart operations, spina bifida operations on the unborn child. Don't talk to me about we don't know who this child is. Furthermore, from the time of Roe v. Wade, one of the other big things that has changed, and this is actually in the briefs that are on the desks of the Supreme Court justices as we speak right now, is the fact that centers like Summit Life and thousands of others across our country weren't there when in 1973 Roe v. Wade said, well, it would be so difficult for a pregnant mom who wasn't planning on a child to have to bear that child and not have the option to abort. Oh, so many difficulties. The court painted this horrifying picture. A lot has changed. Options are there. Options for work and education that can be pursued from home and online. Anti-discrimination laws for pregnant moms, safe haven laws where babies can be dropped off at fire stations and police stations. This is in effect in all 50 states. So much has changed. And we also know the harm, better than ever, that comes from abortion. The court is reconsidering this. This is real. This can result, it will result in tremendous progress for our movement. And brothers and sisters, that is why we should have hope tonight. And that hope should inspire us to do even more each of us everything we can to join the greatest and most significant movement in our world to save these lives and to plan for a banquet some night. We'll come back here where we will be celebrating the fact that these children in the womb have just as much protection and respect as do the lives of all the rest of us. That day is coming. Let's hasten it and let's celebrate it together. God bless you. Okay?
Awesome. Oh, I have a good more time with you. Tomorrow, though. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
you're welcome. All right, thank you.
Pro-life work, and we are grateful for you.
Thank you so much.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.